B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Eruvin Daf Ayin. We're going to start three lines from the top of the Omud. We're going to continue learning the halachas of relinquishing one's share in one's chotzer umovui to the other people. Says the Gemara, Bo minei Abaya mirabba. Abaya asked Rabba the following question. You had five people sharing a chotzer, and in this perek we found many times the number five as an example for the amount of people sharing a chotzer, but it doesn't have to be five, it can be more or less. You have five people sharing a chotzer, and one of them forgot to join the Eruv. So now the chotzer belongs to the one entity which is comprised of the four neighbors that made a chotzer, and a second entity from the one neighbor that didn't join the chotzer, the Eruv. So now the chotzer belongs to two entities. Each of their homes belongs just to a single entity. To carry from a single entity to a shared entity, even though biblically speaking they're both Rishus HaYochid, is Osir on Shabbos, and that's why we need an Eruv. But this person forgot to join the Eruv, and therefore he will restrict the use of this chotzer unless some action is taken. What can he do? He can relinquish, the individual that did not join the Eruv can relinquish his rights in the chotzer, and now the chotzer belongs exclusively to the single entity of the four neighbors that did make the Eruv, and they can carry from their homes into the chotzer. So says the Gemara, when this one individual relinquishes his rights to the four that made the Eruv, does he have to explicitly relinquish his rights to each one of the four neighbors that did make the Eruv? Or can he relinquish his rights to just one of them, and since that one is part of the Eruv with the other three, it's as if he relinquished his rights to that whole entity called four neighbors? And he does not need to explicitly relinquish his rights to each of the four. That was Abaya's question to Rabba. Omer le, so Rabba said, Tzorich levatil l'chol echod ve'echod, he has to explicitly relinquish his rights to each and every one of the neighbors. Says the Gemara Eisve, Abaya is now going to challenge Rabba from a braisa. And this is a braisa with quite a lot of halachas, and we just have to stay focused, and it's quite straightforward. This braisa is going to be split into two. The first half of the braisa, which itself has four cases, is talking about cases where relinquishing one's rights actually is valid and allows the others, those who received the relinquished rights, to use the chotzer. The second half of the braisa, which is comprised of three cases, is talking about the cases where relinquishing one's rights would not be valid. So the first case number one, which is the first case in the group that the relinquishing of rights does work. Echod shloi irev, if a single person, one of the neighbors, and only one of the neighbors, forgot to join the Eruv, noisin reshusai, can relinquish his rights, le'echod she'irev, to one of those that did make the Eruv. That's case number one. And it works if this one person relinquishes his rights to one of the neighbors that made an Eruv, then the relinquishing of rights was valid. Or a second case, Shnayim She'irvu, Noistin Rashuson Le'echot Shaloi Iriv. If you have three neighbors, two of them made an Eruv and one didn't, then instead of the one that didn't make the Eruv relinquishing his rights to the two that did, then the two that made the Eruv can relinquish their rights to the one that didn't, and now the Chotzer again belongs to a single entity who happens to be the one neighbor that didn't join the Eruv, and there too, that neighbor who received the relinquished rights from the two that did make the Eruv, he can carry from his home into the Chotzer. Case number three, Ushnaim Shaloi Irvu, Noisnin Rashuson Lishnaim She'irvu. If you had two neighbors that forgot to join the Eruv, then, and you had two people that did make an Eruv, the two that did not make the Eruv, they can both relinquish their rights to the two that did make the Eruv, final result being that the entire Chotzer belongs to the two that made an Eruv, and those two can carry from their homes to the Chotzer. Case number four, Oy le'echot shelo irev, the two that did not make the Eruv, in the same way as they can relinquish their rights to a to two that did make an Eruv, the two that didn't make an Eruv can also relinquish their rights to a single person that did not make an Eruv. That means if there were three people in the three neighbors in the Chotzer, none of them made an Eruv. So if two of those that didn't make an Eruv relinquish their rights to the third one that didn't make an Eruv, then again that would be valid because the Chotzer now belongs to a single entity. Aval, but, however, and this is now where the Sefer of the Brisa starts. Loi echod she'irev noisin reshusoi le'echod shelo irev. If one of two people that had an echod she'irev means that there was an Eruv, with every Eruv must be at least two people. Eruv means merging at least two neighbors. If one of the people in the Eruv relinquished their rights to the third neighbor, to that one neighbor that was not part of the Eruv, that would not be valid because now the Chotzer belongs to the one neighbor who didn't join the Eruv and to the one neighbor that did join in the Eruv and did not relinquish his rights. So you have again a Chotzer belonging to two entities and one is not allowed to carry in it. That was case number 5, the first case in the Sefer where relinquishing one's rights would not be valid. Or case number 6, Ve'ein Shnayim She'irvu, if two people that did make an Eruv both relinquished their rights to two other neighbors that both Noisnim Roshuson, Ve'ein Shnayim She'irvu, Noisnim Roshuson L'Shnayim She'lo Irvu, if the two that made an Eruv relinquished their rights to another two neighbors that both did not make an Eruv, then again, that will not be valid because, bottom line, the Chotzer now belongs to two neighbors that both did not have an Eruv. Case number 7, the final case in the Braisa, Ve'ein Shnayim Shelo Irvu, Noisten Roshuson, L'Shnayim Shelo Irvu. If you had four neighbors and none of them made an Eruv, and two of those that didn't make an Eruv relinquished their rights to the other two that didn't make an Eruv, that's also invalid for the same reason. Because the bottom line is that the Chotzer now belongs exclusively to two people that both didn't join the Eruv, and if, since it belongs to two entities, no one is allowed to carry them. That is the end of the Braisa. And now the Gemara explains, Abaye is now going to deduce from this Braisa his question against Rabba. Rabba said that when you relinquish your rights, you have to relinquish your rights to each and every one of the people that you're relinquishing your rights to, and you have to explicitly express that. And Abaye is now bringing proof from this Braisa, not that way. Ktonim Mius, at any rate, we learnt, Reisha, in the very first halacha of this Braisa, Echod Shelo Irev, if one person that did not join the Eruv, Noisin Roshusoi, he can relinquish his rights, Le'echod She'irev, to one that did join the Eruv. And we said that's valid, because all the others had an Eruv. The one that didn't join the Eruv relinquished his rights. Now the Chotzer belongs to a single entity and anybody, and they can carry them. So Abaye is now saying, what does it mean that he's relinquishing his rights le'echot she'irev, to one that made an Eruv? One cannot make an Eruv, there must be two to have an Eruv. So if he relinquished his rights to one, it must be one of the two that made an Eruv. Is that not explicitly saying what Abaye is trying to impress on us, that when you relinquish your rights, you only have to relinquish them to one of the people in the Eruv? Echod shelo irev, noisin roshusoi le'echod she'irev, asks the Gemara, or says Abaye, hey Chadomi, what case are we talking about? Ideleka achrin abadei, is this one who's receiving the relinquished rights? If there's nobody with him in his Eruv, then behadiman Eruv, then he didn't join an Eruv. And the Braisa says explicitly that he relinquished his rights to echod she'irev, to one that was part of an Eruv. There must have been a second person there. Elo pshita, it goes without saying, de ika achrin abade, there must be a second person with him. Uktoni, and the Braisa says explicitly, le'echot she'irev, that the one that didn't make the Eruv relinquishes his rights to one of the people that are in the Eruv, clearly not like Rabba, who says that you have to relinquish your rights to both people in the Eruv. So that's Abaya's basis, or the source for Abaya's opinion, that it's sufficient to relinquish one's rights to any one of those in the Eruv. V'Rabba, how is Rabba going to explain this, Braisa? Rabba said that you have to relinquish your rights to all the people in the Eruv. So what's, how do you explain the Braisa that says that if you relinquish your rights to le'echod she'irev, to one of those in the Eruv, it's sufficient? Ula Rabba, how's Rabba going to explain this? Answers the Gemara, Ocha b'mayoskinon, dehava umis. We're talking about a case where there was an Eruv, there were two people there, and sometime on Shabbos, one of the people in the Eruv actually passed away and died. So now, what you're left with? You're left with three neighbors, one of them no longer alive, one of them was part of an Eruv with his deceased friend, and the other one was never part of the Eruv. So it's as if you have just two people without that did not have an Eruv with each other. So the Braisa is saying that if the one that wasn't part of the Eruv can relinquish his rights to the one that was part of the Eruv, and it's valid, but you have no proof from here that in the event that both partners in the neighbor in the Eruv are still alive, that you would not have to relinquish his rights to both of those partners. Asks the Gemara, Ida hava umis, if indeed we're talking about a case where that when it says echod she'irev, it means that there were two and one of them died, and now you're left just with one. Eima sefer, we're going to have a problem with the first halacha in the second group of halachas in this braisa that actually discusses a relinquishing of rights that is invalid. What does it say? At the beginning, the first halacha in the last part of the braisa, it says, Aval ein echod she'irev, but one that made an Eruv, that was part of the Eruv, cannot noisen ushusay relinquish his rights le'echod sheloi iriv. There it would not work. So the way we understood it was that echod she'irev means that there were two people that had an Eruv, two neighbors, and one of them relinquished their rights to the third neighbor that did not join the Eruv. That's invalid, and that we can understand, because now the chotzer belongs to two entities that have not joined with an Eruv. But if you say Echot She'irev means a single remaining survivor of an Eruv, then if it's just a single remaining survivor of an Eruv who relinquishes his rights to the neighbor who was never part of the Eruv, why should that not be valid? There's nobody else here in the chotzer that should be disrupting the Eruv. Either have or miss, says the Gemara, in the event that Echot She'irev means that there were two people and one of them died, amayloi, why is that relinquishing of rights not valid? Elopshita, it must be that first case at the end of the Braisa, De'asya, it's talking about that both members of the original Eruv are still alive. And when it says Echot She'irev, it must mean one of the two of the Eruv relinquished their rights, and that's why it's invalid, because the other one that did not relinquish his rights is a separate entity from the neighbor that wasn't in the Eruv to start with. Umid the Sefer Asya, and since when it says in the Braisa Echot She'irev, in the Sefer of the Braisa, it must mean one of two, and they're both still alive, Reishanami Isya, it must be that right at the beginning of the Braisa, when it says that Echot She'loi Irev is relinquishing his rights to Echot She'irev, there too it's talking about one of two surviving members of the Eruv. If so, comes back Abaye's question on Rabbah, you see clearly that you only have to relinquish your rights to one of the people in the Eruv, not to both. Answers the Gemara, no, mid-aira. Does that have to be that way? That just because the first halach in the Sefer that says Echot She'irev is one of two people who are both still alive, then Echot She'irev in the Reisha also means that? No. Ha'ka de'isa, v'ha'ka de'isa. In the first case in the Braisa, we're talking about where there was only one of them, of the Echot She'irev is the only surviving member of the Eruv, and in the Sefer, we're talking about that both are still alive. Teda. And I can bring you proof to this, that when the Reisha says Echot She'meis, it says Echot She'irev, it means that the one surviving member, but the other one died. I can prove to you that that's how the Reisha understands Echot She'irev. Diktoni Sefer de Reisha, if you go to the second last case in the Reisha, where it says there, Ushnaim Shaloi Irvu, if two neighbors that both did not join the Eruv, Noisnin Rashuson, they relinquished their rights, Lishnaim She'irvu, to two that were part of an Eruv. It's clear from there, Lishnaim in Le'echod Loi. From that case, you see clearly, it doesn't say that two that didn't make the Eruv can relinquish their rights to one that was part of an Eruv. it says to two that were part of an Eruv. So it's very clear that when you relinquish your rights and there are two surviving members in the Eruv, you have to relinquish your rights to both. Exactly what Rabbah said. So in the first case of the Braisa, where it says that he's relinquishing his rights to the Echot She'irev, it must be that the second one is no longer alive. V'abaya Omar. Abaya says that this is not proof. From that third case in the Braisa, the second last case in the Reisha, that explicitly says that the two that were not part of the Eruv can relinquish their rights to Shnayim She'irvu, to two that were part of an Eruv. And Abaya will say that's not proof to Rabbah. The fact that the Braisa at the beginning says Echot She'irev, and in the third case says Shnayim She'irvu, that's not proof that Shnayim She'irvu, you have to relinquish your rights to both, and Echot She'irev means only one of them is still alive. No, Abaya says you never have to give it to both. Let's see how Abaya is going to explain that. V'Abaya Omar, my l'shnayim, when it says in the third case in the Braisa that the two that did not join the Eruv relinquished their rights to two that were part of an Eruv, it means le'echod mishnayim, to just one of the two, but you don't need to give it to both. And obviously the question is going to be that if so, why does the Braisa change its terminology? According to Abaya, the first case in the Braisa that says le'echod she'irev, Abaya understood it means one of two people that were part of an Eruv, and it's called Echod She'irev. So if so, in the third case in the Braisa, why does it say Shnayim She'irev when it means to one of the two? Yehoch asked the Gemara, Lisni le'echod she'irev, then use the same formula as you used at the beginning of the Braisa and say that two people that did not join the Eruv can relinquish their rights to Echod She'irev. And that will be merged with the fourth case in the Braisa that says that the two that were not part of the Eruv, they can also relinquish their rights to a single person, to one that was never part of an Eruv. Why does Abaya, according to Abaya, why does the Braisa say Lishnaim She'irvu? Says the Gemara Kashya, this is indeed a difficulty, and Abaya has to answer it, but we're not going to refute Abaya from this. Continues the Gemara. So either way, we've had a machlokes Abaya and Rabbah. Rabbah says you have to relinquish your rights explicitly to all the people who are supposed to be receiving the rights, and Abaya says to any one of them. The first case in the Braisa, there's a machlokes Abaya and Rabbah when it says le'echod she'irev. Does it mean to one of two surviving existing members of the Eruv, or does it mean to the one, to the only surviving member of that Eruv? In the third case of the Braisa, where it says that Shnaim Shaloi Irvu Amavatl Darushus to Shnaim She'irvu, again, according to Rabbah, it means you have to relinquish your rights to both of those in the Eruv, and according to Abaya, it means to one of the two of the Eruv. And in the first case, that's in the Sefer of the Braisa, that says that one cannot relinquish his right, one Echot She'irev cannot relinquish his rights to the one that was never part of the Eruv, there, even according to Rabbah, it's talking about that there are two surviving members of the Eruv, and any one of them cannot relinquish their rights to somebody who was not part of the Eruv. Continues the Gemara. Echot She'loi Irev Noisin Roshusoy Le'echot She'irev. And now the Gemara is going through case by case in the Braisa to explain it, and part of what we've already discussed. In the first case, Echot She'loi Irev, one neighbor that was not part of the Eruv, Noisin Roshusoy Le'echot She'irev, can relinquish his rights to one that was part of the Eruv. Abaya De'isiel, according to Abaya, it's talking about that both of them are still alive, and he relinquished his rights to any one of them. The Komash Malon and the Chiddush of the Braisa, according to Abaya, De'ein Tzorich Levater Roshus Lekol Echod Ve'Echod. Indeed, that's the Chiddush, that you do not need to relinquish your rights to all the people in the Eruv, to any one is sufficient. L'Rabba, according to Rabba, is talking about the Hava or Miss. There was a second person that was part of the Eruv, and he died. V'Lei Gozur Zimnin Da'asya, and the Chiddush of the Braisa is that we do not make a decree, and say that you cannot relinquish your rights to a single survivor of an Eruv, lest next time you're going to relinquish your rights to one of two surviving members of an Eruv. And we're not afraid that that's going to happen, and therefore, since at this point in time there's only one person of the Eruv that's still alive, you can relinquish your rights to that one, and it's valid, says Rabba. Let's move to the second halacha in the Braisa. Ushnaim she'iruvu, two people that were part of an Eruv, noisnim reshusom, they can relinquish their rights le'echot shlo irev, to the one neighbor that did not join the Eruv. And as we explained before, now the entire chotzer belongs to a single entity of that one neighbor. He can carry from his home to the chotzer. Says the Gemara Pshita. Does it not go without saying? We can take this for granted. Once they've relinquished their rights to him, the chotzer belongs to just a single person, a single entity. Why should he not be able to use it? Says the Gemara Mauda Teima, I may have thought, Kiven Deloy Irev, since this one particular neighbor did not join the Eruv, Likne say we should penalize him, we should give him a ban, we should punish him, and say that you cannot receive the relinquished rights of those that did join the Eruv. Kumash Malon, the Bryce is telling us that we do not say that, and he can receive those rights. Let's move to the third case in the Bryce, one that we've already discussed at length, which is again going to be Machlokes Abaya and Rabba how to learn it. Ushnaim Shaloi Iruvu, if two neighbors that had not joined the Eruv, Noisin Roshuson, they relinquished their rights, Lishnaim She'iruvu, to two who had made an Eruv previously. Le Rabba, according to Rabba, Tona Sefer Ligluya Resha. The reason it says here that they relinquished their rights to two, that is, according to Rabbi, it's in order to tell us that since there are two remaining people, both alive, in the Eruv, then the two that were not part of the Eruv have to relinquish the rights to both. L'shnayim she'iruvu, they have to relinquish the rights to both neighbors who are receiving the relinquished rights, in contrary to Abaya that said you only have to relinquish your rights to one of them. So according to Rabbi, it says here, L'shnayim she'iruvu, just in order to teach us that when in the ratio of the Mishnah, the very first case, it says le'echot she'irev, it must be that there's only one survivor of the Eruv still alive, because had both been alive, he would have to relinquish his rights, they would have to relinquish their rights to both of those neighbors. Le'rabba tona seifu le'gluya reisha, according to Rabba, this case is there just to help us understand the very first case. Le'abaya, according to Abaya, that says that both in the first case of the Braisa and in this case, they are relinquishing their rights to one of the two people in the Eruv. So, Shnaim Shaloi Irvu, it's Trichalei. Then, the Chiddush of this part of the Braisa is, because as we said before, L'Shnaim She'irvu, that we already know, it means one of two, according to Abaya. And the fact that the Braisa changed its terms from Echod She'irev to Shnaim She'irvu, which according to Abaya both mean the same thing to one of the two people in the Eruv, that the Gemara already asked on Abaya, and Gemara didn't answer that. But the Chiddush is going to be to not to the two that are one of the two who are receiving the relinquished rights, rather to the fact that there are two that are relinquishing their rights. In case one and case two of the Braisa, those that were Loi Iruvu, that were not part of the Eruv, was just one person. Either in the first case it was one person that wasn't part of the Eruv that relinquished his rights to those that did, or in the second case, those that did make the Eruv relinquished their rights to the one neighbor that didn't. Here we're meeting for the first time a set, two neighbors that both did not join the Eruv. So I may have thought, says the Gemara, Shnaim Shaloi Irvu Itztrichalei, there's a Chiddush here, since we're talking about a case where there were two neighbors that didn't join the Eruv. Sol Kedai Techamina, I may have thought, Ligzer Dilma Osi Levatule Luhu, that if you're going to allow the two neighbors that didn't join the Eruv to relinquish their rights to anybody, in this case to those that did make the Eruv, I may have thought that people will get confused the next time they will allow those that did make the Eruv to relinquish their rights to two neighbors that did not make an Eruv, and if two neighbors that did not make an Eruv receive the relinquished rights, it's invalid, you still cannot use the Chotzer. So I may have thought people will get confused and think that you can relinquish rights that way. That's what Kumash Malon, the Brice, are telling us, that we're not concerned about that. And even though there's two neighbors that have not relinquished their right, that have not joined the Eruv, they can both relinquish their rights to two people that had joined an Eruv. And in a moment we'll see they can also relinquish their rights to one person. And that person didn't, even if that person was not part of the Eruv. And we're not afraid that people will think that you can relinquish your rights to two people that had not joined an Eruv. Says the Gemara, the fourth ruling of the Braisa, Oy le'echot shelo yirev, if two people that were not part of the Eruv relinquished their rights to a third person that was also not part of an Eruv, which means that there was no Eruv in this Chotzer whatsoever. However, since at the end of the day, the entire Chotzer belongs to a single entity, that one neighbor, that third neighbor can carry from his home to the Chotzer. Says the Gemara, Lomeli, why do I need the Braisa to tell us this? In the same way as two people who did not join the Eruv can relinquish their rights to two people that had an Eruv, they can also relinquish their rights to a single person that did not have an Eruv. Says the Gemara, Mao de Tema, I may have thought, Hanemili Heichad Miktsasan Eruvu, or Miktsasan Lo Eruvu. Till now, all the cases in the Braisa are talking about where at least some of the members of the Chotzer had made an Eruv. However, in this fourth case of the Braisa, Abel Heichad Kulon Lo Eruvu, we're talking about two neighbors that did not join an Eruv, who relinquished their rights to a third neighbor that didn't have an Eruv, which means that nobody had an Eruv here. We may have thought, Liknesei, that we should give them a punishment, Kedei Sheloi Tishtakach Teiris Eruv, in order that people shouldn't forget that you really have to make an Eruv, because over here you'll have all the neighbors relinquishing their rights to that one neighbor, and that one neighbor can carry, so there'll be people carrying in a Chotzer that intrinsically belongs to and is shared by a number of neighbors, and there will be no Eruv here. People will forget that one's supposed to make an Eruv. Kumash Malon, the Bryce is coming to teach us that we're not concerned about this, and that all the neighbors that did not join an Eruv can relinquish their rights to any one neighbor, and then that neighbor can carry from his home to the Chotzer. Continues the Gemara, we're now going to explain the next part of the Braisa, the second half of the Braisa that tells us three cases where relinquishing one's rights will not be valid and will keep the Chotzer in its restricted status. Aval ein echot she'irev, if one of two people in an Eruv relinquish their rights, noisen reshusoi le'echod shelo irev, to a third neighbor who did not join the Eruv to start with, that will not be valid, since what we're left with now is the other person of the Eruv, he did not relinquish his rights, so he's got his own individual rights, and the neighbor that was never part of the Eruv has his own rights plus the rights of the part of the Eruv that relinquished his rights. So the Chotzer is now belonging to two people, and therefore it's not valid and nobody can carry there. Says the Gemara, La Abaya Tona Sefer Ligluya Resha. According to Abaya, that we need this case here in the final case, because Abaya said in this case, when it says the words Echod She'irev, that's what it says, Ein Echod She'irev, Noisen Rishusay Le'echod She'irev. What does the word Echod She'irev mean? Over here, it cannot mean a single surviving member of the Eruv, because if he was the only surviving member and he relinquished his rights to the only other neighbor that was not part of the Eruv, why should that be invalid? So according to Abaya, the Braisa here is teaching us that the words Echot She'irev means one of two surviving members, and that taught Abaya that in the first case at the beginning of the Braisa that speaks about Echot She'lo Irev that was Mevatel his Da, his Rashus, not San Rashusoy Le'echot She'irev, that also it means to one of two surviving members, and Abaya brought proof from there that you do not need to relinquish your rights explicitly to all the members of the Eruv. So according to Abaya, where did he learn that from? And he actually said in that many words in our discussion before, he learned it from this first case in the second half of the Braisa. However, L'Rabba, according to Rabba, where we hear, Rabba has to agree that we're talking about one of two surviving members of an Eruv, and the words Echot She'irev here means one of two. So according to Rabba, what's the Chiddush? He's not telling us, he's not teaching us what it taught Abaya, because Rabba indeed learns that Echot She'irev at the beginning of the Braisa means that there's only one surviving member of that Eruv. So if so, over here, in this case, where even Rabba agrees that it's talking about one of two people in the Eruv, what's the Chiddush? That one of two cannot relinquish their rights to a third one. What are you trying to teach us here? Says the Gemara, Aida de Tana Reisha, Tani Nami Seifa, we want it to be consistent. We want the theme of the Braisa to be consistent. And in the same way as in the first part of the Braisa, where we're talking about relinquishing one's rights that actually works, it says that Echod Sheloi Irev can be Mevatel his Roshus to Echod Sheirev. So it uses the same formula here, that Echod Sheirev cannot relinquish his rights to Echod Sheloi Irev. And even though we're talking about the word Echot Irev means something very different in the Reish and the Sefer, however, the terms used are similar just for the sake of consistency. Now we're moving to the next case, the second case in the second part of the Braisa, which is the sixth case in the Braisa. V'ein shnayim she'iruvu. If two people that were, they had an Eruv, they made an Eruv, noistin roshuson, they cannot relinquish their rights, l'shnayim she'loi iruvu, to two that did not, were both not part of the Eruv, and obviously that doesn't work. Says the Gemara, Ha Sulamali, why do you need to tell us this? In the same way as in the first case of the second half of the Braisa, where if at the end of the day, after all the relinquishing of rights, the Chotza belongs to two people, then the Chotza is not allowed to be carried in. So what are you trying to tell us here? Of course, two people who were part of an Eruv who relinquished their rights to two people that are not part of the Eruv, of course the Eruv, the Chotz, is not going to be allowed to be used on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Loi, it's not so straightforward. Tzricha, there's an element of Chiddush here. In what case? Debotel le lechad minayu lechavrei. If two neighbors that were part of an Eruv relinquished their rights to neighbor number three and four that were not part of an Eruv, then obviously at that point, nobody can carry in the chotzer. If neighbor number three then relinquishes his own rights and the rights of neighbor number one and two that he received, relinquishes all that to neighbor number four, then we would have thought that neighbor number four can now carry from his home to the chotzer, because all the rights of all the neighbors are now his. So the Bryce is coming to say, even then it will not work. Mal de tema, I may have thought, l'shtori lei, it would be permitted for neighbor number four to carry. Komash malon, the Braisa is coming to tell us that it's not valid. Why? Kiven de be'idne de botile. Since at the point in time where neighbors 1 and 2 that had an Eruv relinquished their rights to neighbors 3 and 4, at that point neighbors 3 and 4 could not carry in the Chotzer because they themselves hadn't made an Eruv. And since the relinquishing of rights will not actually allow them at that point to carry, it's actually invalid. They did not acquire the rights. And since they did not acquire the rights at that point, neighbor number 3 has nothing to give to neighbor number 4, because he didn't acquire the rights of neighbor number 1 and 2, and therefore it doesn't help that he tries to relinquish those rights to neighbor number 4, and therefore the chotzer remains restricted. Kiven de be'idne de botile, at the point in time where neighbors 1 and 2 relinquished their rights to neighbors 3 and 4, lo yehava le shirusa, it would not have given neighbors 3 and 4 permission to carry. B'ho chotzer in this chotzer, loy, therefore, neighbor number 3 has then not acquired those rights and therefore cannot relinquish them to neighbor number 4, and therefore the chotzer remains restricted. Continues the Gemara, now to the final case in the Braisa, that if you have two people that both did not have an Eruv, that they cannot relinquish their rights to another two neighbors that also didn't have an Eruv. V'ein shnayim sheloi irvu, noisnin rushusom, L'shnayim shelo irvu, asks the Gemara, Hasulamali. This goes without saying, because after relinquishing the rights, we're back to where we started, that the chotzer belongs to two people, two entities that have not made an Eruv. Says the Gemara, no, loy, it's not so straightforward. Shricha, there's an element of chiddush. In what case? The Omri, that the two neighbors said, the neighbors 1 and 2, that did not have an Eruv, they both said to neighbors 3 and 4, Kni almanos lahaknois. You number 3 should receive the rights of us 1 and 2 on the condition that you're going to relinquish those rights with your own to neighbor number 4. And then that should work. So the Bryce is coming to tell us that that doesn't work for the same reason that we saw before, that since at the time where neighbors 1 and 2 gave their rights to 3, it would not allow 3 to carry because he did not have an Eruv with 4. Therefore, even if they made this condition, it would not be valid. Continues the Gemara, we're moving now to another subject. Boy mine Rova mir Rav Nachman. Rova asked Rav Nachman the following question. Yoirush, an heir, whose father died, Mao Shivatil Rishus. What happens if there was one of the neighbors who didn't join, who forgot to join the Eruv, and therefore on Shabbos nobody could use that chotzer, and then this individual that didn't join the Eruv, he passed away, and now his heir, who's inherited his rights to the property, can this heir now on Shabbos, can he relinquish his rights from that chotzer, now allowing all the other remaining neighbors who did join an Eruv to carry in the chotzer? So says the Gemara, Heichad iboye le'iruvay mi'etmil, motzi ma'oriv, bitule nami motzil mevatel. In the event that the father died before Shabbos, which means that this heir, this son, could have joined the Eruv, theoretically, with the other neighbors before Shabbos. You can only make an Eruv before Shabbos. Relinquishing one's rights, one could do on Shabbos. We'll learn more about that later. But an Eruv, you can only do before Shabbos. Had the father died before Shabbos, then, of course, it goes without saying, bitulinami motzi mevatil, that the son can relinquish his rights on Shabbos. Avol hai, but in this case, where the father was still alive when Shabbos came in, and the son only received rights to the property after the father died, which was on Shabbos, kiven diboy l'iruv me'etmil, since had the son wanted to join the Eruv from before Shabbos, lo imotzi ma'ariv, he would not have been able to do it for the simple reason that he was not a neighbor, he had no rights to any of the property in this chotzer, lo imotzi mevatil. Then he also cannot relinquish his newly inherited rights on Shabbos. Oy dilma, or maybe not. Yoyrush kari davuahu, that this son, this heir, is considered somewhat as being an extension of his father, and in the same way as his father could have joined the Eruv before Shabbos, the son can relinquish those rights on Shabbos. That was the question. Omar li, Rav Nachman answered to Rava, Ani oymer, I Rav Nachman hold mevatil, that this son can relinquish his rights on Shabbos. However, v'hani debei Shmuel, but the Talmidim of Shmuel, or from the yeshiva of Shmuel, tonu, they learnt ein mevatel, they said that an heir, the son who has now inherited those rights, cannot be mevatel their rishus on Shabbos. And now the Gemara is going to bring a braisa, seemingly to contradict and refute Rav Nachman's opinion. Eisvei, ze'aklal, there's a rule. And we've seen this rule a little bit previously in the Masechta. Kol shem mutar lemiktas Shabbos, any chotzer that was permitted to be carried in at any point at the beginning of Shabbos, when Shabbos came in, for any length of time, mutar lechol haShabbos, it remains mutar to carry in that chotzer the entire Shabbos, even though circumstances may have changed. The chol shem nesar lemiktas Shabbos, and any chotzer that when Shabbos came in, for whatever reason, it was prohibited, it was restricted, nobody could carry there, then neser l'chol haShabbos, even though circumstances change during Shabbos, the chotzer remains restricted for the entire Shabbos. And the Braisa says there's one exception, chutz mimevatel rishus. We know we've discussed the concept of relinquishing one's rights on Shabbos, and we've discussed this a number of places, and the Rishonim here, the Meiri and others, they try and make some order with all the different opinions, but we've learned that the concept that one's allowed to do even on Shabbos, and that's to relinquish one's rights. For example, if you had five neighbors sharing a chotzer, and one of them didn't join the Eruv, he could have and should have, but didn't, then even on Shabbos, he can relinquish his rights to all those that did make an Eruv, and thereby allowing them, those that did make an Eruv, to carry from their homes into the chotzer, and from the chotzer into their homes. And even though when Shabbos came in, the chotzer was restricted because he had not yet relinquished his rights and he had not joined the Eruv, nonetheless, when he relinquishes his rights on Shabbos, the chotzer then becomes permitted to all those other neighbors. And that is the one exception to the rule. Even though we saw here in the Braisa that a chotzer that was osur when Shabbos came in remains osur the entire Shabbos, the exception to the rule is regarding the halachas of relinquishing one's rights that one can do even in the middle of Shabbos. And the Gemara is now going to explain what's going on here. And we have to realize that this Braisa that the Gemara just quoted is really saying four things. There's the rule itself, Kol shemutar lemikzas Shabbos, mutar lekol haShabbos. Kol shenesar lemikzas Shabbos, nesar lekol haShabbos. Those are the two rules themselves. And there's another two pieces of information, and that is that the Braisa referred to these rules as rules. Why couldn't you just say the Braisa just say these halachas? Just say the Braisa should opening remarks should be that should start with saying anything that was mutter at the beginning of Shabbos remains mutter, anything that was asa remains asa. But no, the Braisa says zeh klal. This is actually a rule. It's teaching us it's a quite a broad spectrum of halachas. That means that each of the halachas themselves that the Braisa is quoting is not only a stand-alone halacha. It's actually a rule teaching us another halacha. That means this Braisa is really teaching us at least four halachas. Let's see what they are. Kol shehutar lemikzas Shabbos, mutar lekol haShabbos. The first rule itself, without focusing on what it's a rule for, what it's teaching us beyond what it says itself, but the halacha itself, kol shehutar lemikzas Shabbos, mutar lekol haShabbos, what's that case? Kegoin irev derech haPesach. We know that if you have two chatzeris, and they each have their own Eruv, they have their own entrances and exits to out of the Chotzer. They're not dependent on each other to walk through. They each have their own Eruv and they can carry in their own Chatzeris. What happens if the people want to carry in each other's Chatzeris? You have to make an Eruv merging the two. But there's a condition. You can only do that if there's a significant entrance between the two, which is either a door or a window of at least 4x4 Tfachim wide. If there is such an opening, you can make such an Eruv, and then one can carry from one chotzer to the next, either from those significant openings, or from any hole, or any way you want to carry. However, if you do not have such significant openings, then one cannot make an Eruv between the two chatzeres, and even if there are some small openings between the two, one is not allowed to carry from one to the other. So what happens? Kegoin she'irev derech haPesach, you had two chatzeris, there was a significant opening between the two, and therefore you could make an Eruv, derech haPesach, in virtue of the fact that there was a significant opening. V'nistam haPesach, and during Shabbos, a pile of rubble or a building fell down in front of the entrance, whatever the circumstances are, there is now no longer a significant opening between the two. Or irev derech haloin, first we're speaking about a door, the same applies if it's a window, v'nista machaloin, and the window got blocked up over Shabbos, and now all you're left is with small openings between the two. Nonetheless, kol shehutar lemikzas Shabbos, since when Shabbos came in, one was allowed to carry because it had significant openings, it remains mutter to carry from one chotzer to the next for the entire Shabbos, even though those significant openings are no longer there. Zeaklal. Okay, so that's the halacha itself, but this is a rule. It's obviously teaching us something to somewhere else. Zeaklal, the word zeaklal, la'asuye mai, la'asuye, what is that coming to include? It's coming to include mavui shenitlu kairosov oilechoyov, in a case where, and this is even a little bit more of a dramatic case, where the actual mechitzas, the boundaries, the partitions to this mavui actually got interfered with. It wasn't like the two chatzeres that the significant openings got blocked. Over here we're talking about you had a mavui, and in order to be able to carry in a mavui, you need to have a sign at the beginning of at the entrance of the mavui, either a post, a lechi, or a koire, a beam going across the top, which we learnt about extensively in the first perek. And what happens if during Shabbos the lechi or the koire became invalid? It fell down, it got taken away, or became possible otherwise. If the koira or lechi were removed, then we say that even though now the mavi would be possible, since when Shabbos came in, it was valid, one can continue carrying in the mavi for the rest of Shabbos. And now we're moving to the second case of that braisa. Kol she'nesar lemikzas Shabbos, any chotzer or any area that was osur to be carried in when Shabbos came in, nesar lekol haShabbos kula, it remains that way the entire Shabbos, even if circumstances change. Kegoin shnei batim b'shnei tzidei rishus harabim. If you have two homes opposite each other, with a rishus harabim going through between the two, v'hikifum nochrim mechitza b'Shabbos. Before Shabbos came in, of course you couldn't carry in the area between the two. It was a Rosh Harabim. It was not enclosed in any way. In the middle of Shabbos, Goyim came and they made a mechitza around the two homes with the area in between it. Now the area in between the two homes is considered a chotzer. And so we say that, and obviously on Shabbos, that we could entertain the idea of one of those homeowners relinquishing their rights to the other homeowner and allowing that homeowner to carry on Shabbos. So we say no, since it was also when Shabbos came in, therefore the area between the two homes remains Osir for the entire Shabbos. And now the Gemara is going to explain what the Zeh Klal, the words that it's a rule, what does that come to include in the case where something was Osir when Shabbos came in, it remains Osir. Zeh Klal La'asuye Mai, says the Gemara, La'asuye Meis Nochri B'Shabbos. A case where there were three people in the chotzer sharing a chotzer, two Yisraelim and a goy. And for whatever reason, the goy did not lease his rights to the Yisraelim, so the Yisraelim could not make an Eruv before Shabbos, and nobody could carry in the chotzer when Shabbos came in. What happens if Meis Nochri B'Shabbos, if the goy dies on Shabbos, and now they don't have an issue with the goy's property anymore? All we have an issue with is the fact there's two Yisraelim sharing this chotzer that don't have the Eruv. And they now want to use bittel, they want to relinquish their rights. One of them will relinquish their rights to the other one in order to be able to carry on, to be able to use the chotzer on Shabbos. So that we say, since, and this would not have been able to be learnt out from the previous case. In the previous case, where there was a Rishus HaRabim between the two homes, there you could not have done anything before Shabbos. Over here, you could have done something before Shabbos. You could have leased the property, the rights from the goy, and you didn't. So I may have thought that you're allowed to do the bittel to allow them to use the chotzer on Shabbos, that the Braisa says, no, since when Shabbos came in, you could not use the chotzer, so you cannot use the chotzer now for the entire Shabbos. And now that the Gemara has explained the entire Braisa, now the Gemara is going to come back to one statement within that Braisa, and from there the Gemara is going to conclude its question against Rav Nachman. That we saw in the Braisa, indeed there's a rule that a chotzer that was also to be carried in at the beginning of Shabbos remains also the entire Shabbos. However, the Braisa said there was one exclusion, and that is uktoni chutz mimavatel rishus, a regular case where you have five Yisraelim living in a chotzer, and one of them could have joined the Eruv, should have joined the Eruv, and didn't join the Eruv, then on Shabbos he can do bittel. Even though when Shabbos came in, the chotzer was restricted because one person had not joined the Eruv, he can join the Eruv, he can relinquish his rights to the other neighbors on Shabbos, and then the other neighbors can use the chotzer and carry from their homes to the chotzer. So as we said, in the case where there's a complication, for example, one of the neighbors was a goy, and then they couldn't do an Eruv in the event that they didn't first lease or hire from the goy his property, they couldn't have done an Eruv, and then the goy died on Shabbos. So we saw the Gemara explained that their bittel will not work because you couldn't just make an Eruv before Shabbos. You were relying on the Schirus. However, in a regular case of where there's no goy and you could have done an Eruv and you didn't, in that case you can do the bittel on Shabbos. So the Gemara is saying that, what does it say in the Braisa? Chutz mimevatel rishus. The person who owned property when Shabbos came in, then he is allowed to relinquish his rights to his other friends, his other neighbors on Shabbos, even though in the middle of Shabbos, he's going to make the chotzer usable for everybody, even though when Shabbos came in, it was still restricted. And the Gemara is deducing from there that only the person who owned the property when Shabbos came in, he can relinquish his rights, ihu in yoyrish loy. But in the event that he dies and his property gets inherited by his son, by an heir, or anybody else who's inheriting the property, in there they cannot relinquish their rights on Shabbos. And this is contrary to what Rav Nachman said, that a Yoyrish can relinquish his rights even though he received the property on Shabbos. And exactly where the Gemara saw in the statement, in the words, Chutz Mimavatel Rishus, that it's not referring to an heir, is something of great discussion. Tosfos discusses it, but That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. So you see from this Gemara against a question on Rav Nachman, answers the Gemara, Eima chutz mitayras bitl rishus. The Braisa didn't mean to say that besides for an owner, the owner of the property when Shabbos came in, he and exclusively he can relinquish his rights. That's not what the Braisa means. The Braisa means tayras rishus. Toiras bitl rishus, anyone who's associated to the regular rules of relinquishing rights, including the original owners or his heirs, the people who inherit it from him, they can all relinquish their rights in the middle of Shabbos, even though the chotzer was restricted when Shabbos came in. And hence, on the Braisa, there's no question on Rav Nachman, continues the Gemara. And now the Gemara is going to ask another question. On this discussion, can an heir, a Yoyrish, can he do bittel on the Roshus that he inherited from his father on Shabbos? And this is going to be the second of the three questions we're going to have, and it's going to take us right to the next Mishnah. Isvei, the second question. Echod mibnei chotzer shemis. If one of the members, one of the neighbors, one of the members in the chotzer died on Shabbos, v'niach Roshusoy l'echod min ashuk. And he had given over, he had bequeathed his property to somebody who was not his son, anybody, somebody from the marketplace, a stranger. Mib'oidyoim, if he died before Shabbos came in, which means that his property now belonged to this new stranger who had inherited him, that it now belonged to him from before Shabbos, and that person did not do bittel before Shabbos, nor did he join the Eruv. Mib'oidyoim, also, then the people, Echod mibnei chotzer shemeis, if there were five neighbors sharing a chotzer, and they made an Eruv, and one of the neighbors died. V'hiniach roshusoy le'echod min ashuk, and he bequeathed his property in that chotzer to a stranger, to somebody who did not live in the chotzer. Mib'oidyoim oyser. If this person died before Shabbos set in, which means that the Eruv he made before Shabbos never came into effect before he died, and now that he's died, so his property, for all intents and purposes, is not part of the Eruv. And now his property has been inherited to a stranger, even though he's not living, certainly not that Shabbos, is not living in the chotzer. Nonetheless, oyser, he restricts the chotzer because you have a home here that belongs to somebody who's not part of the Eruv. Because the Eruv they made never became valid because one of the people who were part of the Eruv died before Shabbos. Mishech HaSheicha. If this person died after Shabbos set in, which means that his Eruv became valid and the chotzer was actually mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, Eino Iser, as we learned before, there's a rule that a chotzer that was mutter when Shabbos came in remains mutter the entire Shabbos. And therefore, if he dies after Shabbos comes in, then it doesn't matter who's going to inherit that property, the chotzer remains mutter. What's with the opposite case? V'echod min ashuk shemes. If there was somebody who did not live in this chotzer, but he had property in the chotzer, v'hiniach roshusoy l'echod bnei chotzer. If this individual who did not live in the chotzer died, and he inherited the home, he bequeathed his property to somebody who does live in the chotzer, and that person in the chotzer had made an eruv, then mib'oidyoim, if the person died before Shabbos set in, and then his property belonged to one of the neighbors before the Eruv became valid, and the Eruv became valid, Eino Oyser. Then the fact that this one neighbor has an added property, so what? The Eruv is valid. Mishech HaSheicha. If the person who doesn't live here died after Shabbos came in, Oyser. Then at that point it's Osir, because since when Shabbos came in, there was a property there that belonged to somebody that was not part of the Eruv, namely that stranger, that outsider who did not live there and was not part of the Eruv. And since the Eruv was not valid, therefore, even though afterwards, after Shabbos came in, the owner died, and he had given over, inherited that property to somebody in the Chotzer who did make an Eruv, Nonetheless, the chotzer remains osur. Ask the Gemara, am I osur? Why is it osur? Why can the person who has inherited this new property, nivatil, why can he not relinquish the rights of that chotzer, the newly acquired chotzer, the newly inherited chotzer on Shabbos? Why can he not relinquish the rights? According to Yerav Nachman, that Yerav Nachman say that even a Yerush, somebody, an heir, somebody who inherits property on Shabbos, can relinquish those rights on Shabbos. So this neighbor here, who's now received the rights of that property on Shabbos, who should relinquish those rights to the rest, why oyser? Why is the entire chotzer restricted? Answers the Gemara, no. My oyser, when it says oyser, you know what that means? Nami diktoni, the oyser that it says that it restricts the chotzer, achi yivatil. It just means that the fact that this neighbor was part of the Eruv with his own property, that does not help for the newly acquired property, and the newly acquired property, which was not part of that Eruv, restricts the entire Eruv. However, in the event that you restrict your rights to that property to all the other neighbors, if you do that, then of course it will be valid and you will be able to carry in the chotzer. Continues the Gemara, Toshema, we're going to try and bring now some proof, a question. We're going to discuss this issue as to whether somebody who inherits property on Shabbos can relinquish their rights on Shabbos, on that same Shabbos, from another Braisa. And this, even though we're at the end of the Omud, we're going to continue to the end of the Sugya till the next Mishnah, says the Gemara Toshema. Yisroel v'ger hashruyim b'megura achas. If a Yisroel and a ger is also a Yisroel, he's a convert. What's unique about a ger is that he doesn't have any real relatives, assuming he didn't get married and have children after he converted, and therefore his property does not get inherited to blood relatives. The Torah says anybody who acquires, who makes acquisition on the property of a ger, after the convert dies, he becomes the owners, he inherits the property. And Tosfos, the bottom of the Ayin Amud Beis, says that this is all included in this discussion that we're having here with Rav Nachman, whether a Yerush is Karada Avua, whether an heir is actually an extension of his father. It's not only a son to a father, it's also somebody who inherits a convert, that he's a type of an extension of the convert. So Yisrael v'geir ashruim b'megura achas, if a Yisrael and a convert, who both lived in separate apartments and separate homes with separate openings in a megura, in a goyron, in a granary, they had a shared property that they both had entrances into, and this convert died before Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, when before Shabbos set in, then afal pisha hirzik Yisroel achir binachosov, even if another Yisroel took possession of the property of this convert, he restricts the chotzer. Oyser restricts the chotzer. The implication of the brisa is that afal pi, even though somebody took possession of the property, the chotzer is osa. And it would seem from there that had nobody taken possession, it would also be osa. And what the Brice is telling us is that even if somebody took possession, it's osa. And logic would say the opposite. If nobody took possession, there's no reason the chotzer should be osa. There was only two of them, the Yisrael and the Geir. The Geir has died. If nobody takes possession, then there's only one owner in the property, and why should the chotzer be restricted? The Gemara is going to deal with that. Misha Hashecho, if this geir, this convert, dies on Shabbos after Shabbos sets in, afal pi shelo yihirzik Yisroel achir, and it would seem from here that if another Yisroel took possession of the property, then it wouldn't be a problem. It would not be osir, even if no other Yisrael took possession of the property, einoy oyser, it will not restrict the chotzer. And here as well, we have to understand that its logic would say the opposite. Logic would say that if nobody took possession, then it would be einoy oyser. There would be no reason to restrict the chotzer. And it should say, even if somebody did take possession, it would not restrict the chotzer. But either way, we're going to have to understand this. The Gemara is going to discuss it. And says the Gemara, and before we ask a question on Rav Nachman from this Braisa, let's try and understand the Braisa. Ha gufa kasha, the Braisa itself seems to be difficult. Omrus mib oidyoim, the beginning of the Braisa that said that if the convert died before Shabbos came in, afal pisha hirzik, even if another Yisrael took possession of the property, then oiser, it would prohibit the, it would restrict the chotzah, and we could deduce from there, v'loy miboyo ki lo yichzik, as if to say, it goes without saying, it's even more simple and straightforward to say that if nobody took any rights, any possession of the property, that it would be osa. But aflp, even if a Yisrael took possession, it would be osa. The Gemara says it doesn't make sense. Adarab, on the contrary, ki loy hirzik, in the event that nobody took possession of the convert's property, loy osar, there should be no reason to restrict the chotzer, because there were only two of them living in that chotzer, the Yisroel and the Geir. The Geir died. So if nobody took possession of it, then the chotzer belongs just to one person. Why should he be restricted? It should say that, not afal pisha hirzik, it should say that only because somebody else hirzik, it's osur. And if it's true that even if nobody is mahzik would be osur, then the afalpi should be afalpi, even if nobody took possession, it would be osur. But you shouldn't say even if somebody took possession, it's osur. Says the Gemara, Omer of Papa, Ema, you should say afalpi sheloy hirzik. Read into the Braisa. What the Braisa means to say is, even if nobody took possession, in that case, it's still osa. That means if somebody didn't take, if somebody took possession, we understand it's osa, because now the chotzer belongs to two people, and there's no eruv. But even if nobody took possession, and then it would seem as if that the chotzer's only got one owner, nonetheless, it's osa. And of course, the Gemara now could have straight away said that doesn't make any sense, because if nobody took possession, why indeed should it be osa? But the Ritva explains the Gemara chose not to ask that, the Gemara chose to refute it otherwise. Says the Gemara, Omer of Papa, says the Gemara, V'ha afal pish irzik toni, why are you telling me to read into the Braisa, even if nobody took possession, the chotzer is osur? It's not what it says. It says even if somebody did take possession, if another Israel took possession, it's osur. And then the question comes back, what's this even? It doesn't make sense. Says the Gemara Hochikoma, we're going to explain the Braisa as follows. Afalp, that means the Braisa says two things. It says afalp, even. What's the even? And the next words in the Braisa is shehirzik Yisrael, that another Israel took possession of the property. So the way we have to read it is as follows. Afalp, even sheloy hirzik miboidyoim, even though that Yisrael did not take possession of the convert's property from before Shabbos, elo mishech hasheicho, but he did take possession of it after Shabbos came in, kiven dehavale leharzik miboidyoim, which means afalp, which means even though, dot dot dot, which means even though he did not take possession before Shabbos on Shabbos, shehirzik Yisrael, it means havalei laharzik, kiven de havalei laharzik mibayidyoim, since he could have and should have taken possession of the property from before Shabbos, and he didn't, oyser, therefore he restricts the right. That means this person who is, so to speak, inheriting an heir to this convert, the one who's taking possession of it, since the convert died before Shabbos, then, so to speak, potentially he had some connection to this property from before Shabbos, and therefore he restricts the chotzer on Shabbos. And Rashi explains that had he taken possession before Shabbos, the chotzer would have been osur. And therefore, since he could have taken possession before Shabbos, the chotzer is osur on Shabbos. And now the Gemara is going to explain the second part of the Braisa. Mishech hasheicho, if the convert dies after Shabbos started, afal pi sheloy hirzik Yisrael achir, even if nobody else took possession of the property, einoy oyser, then the chotzer is not restricted. And here again we ask, what's this even? Even if somebody didn't take possession, it's because nobody took possession. Afal pi sheloy hirzik Yisrael achir, it would seem from here that even if nobody took possession, but had somebody else taken possession, then it would also be mutter, it would not restrict the chotzer. which means that even it goes without saying that if somebody did take possession of the property, then it would not restrict the chotzer. And that doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, Adarab, on the contrary, kihirzik asur, it's only because and when somebody else takes possession of the property, that's when the chotzer is going to become asur. You can't say that even though nobody took possession of the property, and even more so if somebody did, einoy asur, that the chotzer is not restricted. Omer of Papa. Rav Papa said, again, Rav Papa is suggesting, Eimo, you should read into the Braisa, Afal Pisha Hirzik, which means if the convert died on Shabbos, Afal Pisha Hirzik, even though somebody else took possession, Eino Oyser, it does not restrict the Chotzer. And the Gemara says, how can you say that? Afal Pisha Hirzik, Shelo Hirzik, Tony. The Braisa says that even though nobody took possession, nonetheless, it's mutter, and it would seem from there that even if somebody else would have taken possession, it would also be mutter, it would not be restricting the chotzer. Why? Says the Gemara Hochikomer. Afel pi shehirzik mishecha sheicha. Even though he took possession after Shabbos came in, kiven delei havelei lehachzim mibo'idyoim, since he could not have taken possession of this property before Shabbos came in, because the convert was still alive, einoy oyser, then he does not restrict the chotzer. And let's remember the rule. Since when Shabbos came in, the convert was alive. When the convert was alive, there was an eruv there. So when Shabbos came in, there were no restrictions on the chotzer. After Shabbos came in, the convert died. Since this person who took possession could not have any rights in this before Shabbos came in, and when Shabbos came in, there were no restrictions on the chotzer remains mutter the entire Shabbos. And we have to read the braisa as follows. Af al pi, even though Yisrael took possession of this property after Shabbos set in, and that would be a reason for it to be asa, since nobody could have taken possession of this property before Shabbos, and when Shabbos came in, it belonged to the convert, and there was a valid Eruv, therefore, Einoy Oyser, it remains mutter the entire Shabbos. That's how we learn the Braisa. And now the Gemara is going to explain, where do you see in this Braisa something contrary to Rav Nachman? Ktoni Mios Reisha. We saw in the Reisha of this Braisa that Oyser, that if a person who takes possession of the convert's property on Shabbos, even though the convert died before Shabbos, which means that when Shabbos came in, the chotzer only belonged to the Yisrael, it should have been mutter. But since the convert died before Shabbos, and this person that took possession of the property, he could have acquired and taken possession of the property before Shabbos, since he could have and he didn't, it remains osur, as we said before. So we're asking a question now. Why don't we say that this person who acquired the possessions of this convert on Shabbos, even though the convert died before Shabbos, that's fine. So now you have a problem that the chotzer belongs to two people? No problem. Why can he not relinquish his rights after having inherited, so to speak, this convert? Why does he not relinquish his rights to the Yisrael, to the other neighbor? And then the other neighbor will be able to carry in the chotzer. Why are you assuming that the chotzer remains restricted the entire Shabbos, according to you, Rav Nachman? Answers the Gemara, my oyser. The Gemara explains that when the Braisa says it's oyser, it means diktoni achi vatil. It just means the fact that when Shabbos came in, there was no other owner in the chotzer, that's not sufficient reason to allow them to carry there the whole Shabbos, because the person who took possession could have taken possession before Shabbos. And therefore, it remains osa. However, if he takes possession and then relinquishes his rights to the other person, even though when Shabbos came in, he was not the owner, there, Rav Nachman says that would be valid, and indeed, the chotzer would then be mutter to be used to the one who received the relinquished rights. So that's one answer how from this braisa is not a contradiction to Rav Nachman. Rav Yechanan Omar, Rav Yechanan offers a different explanation. Masnita Toni, that these braisas that we just learned now, Beshamaihi de Omri Ein Bittel Rashus Beshabbos. It could be these halachas that it says that that in the first case of the Braisa, the Afal Pi Shehirzik Yisrael Acher Benachosav Osur, and we asked a question, according to Rav Nachman, why is it Osur? Why can he not relinquish his rights if he's a Yoyrush? Says, you know, these Braises are following Bishamai. Bishamai say that you can only ever relinquish your rights before Shabbos, not on Shabbos. Bishamai de Omru, Ein Bittel Rishus Bishabbos. Ditnan, we've learned in a Mishnah. Me'im Osai Noisnim Rishus. At what point, what's the appropriate time to relinquish one's rights? We saw it in our Mishnah. Bishamai Imrim Ibo'idyoim. Bishamai say before Shabbos starts. Ubeshilil Imrim, Mishatech Shach. And Beshilil say that it's after Shabbos, even after Shabbos comes in, you can relinquish your rights. And this price is following Bishamai, and therefore it remains Asa. He cannot relinquish his rights. The discussion we had before, whether somebody who inherits property on Shabbos can relinquish his rights, must be following Bishilil. Bishilil say you can relinquish your rights on Shabbos. The question is, if you inherited the property on Shabbos, can you also relinquish the rights? According to Bishamai, the discussion doesn't start. You can only ever relinquish your rights before Shabbos. And now the Gemara is going to try and analyze this machlokes Bishamai and Bishilil as to when is the appropriate time or when one is able to relinquish one's rights. Omar Ula, my tama de Bishilil. What's the reason that Bishilil says that one can relinquish one's rights even on Shabbos? He says because nase ka'omer klache etzel yofis. The truth is the appropriate time to relinquish one's rights is before Shabbos comes in. However, sometimes something a person says later can reflect what his desire would have been earlier. It's as if he says, yeah, I would have been happy to relinquish my rights even before Shabbos. Where do we see such a concept? We see such a concept regarding truma. If a person comes to his produce, to his fruits, and he knows he has to take truma, and he sees somebody took truma for him without getting prior explicit permission. So if the owner's, if his response is, you should have taken or you could have taken the best fruits as truma, that's as if to say, I'm more than happy that you took truma on my behalf. And even though he didn't get permission for it explicitly before, it's as if he got permission beforehand, and therefore the truma is valid, and they can eat the rest of the fruits. That's what it means. Nase ka'imer, it's as if the owner said, klach etzel yofois, go, you could have taken the best fruits for truma, which is the best way to take truma. And since he says that, we say that he always intended and would have allowed this agent to take shliach on his behalf, even though he did not make him an agent, it's mutter. The same applies here, according to Bishilil. That's at least how Ullah explains it. Bishilil says, of course, the opportune time for relinquishing one's rights should be before Shabbos. If you say it on Shabbos, it's as if you gave permission before Shabbos. And that's why Bishilil say you can relinquish your rights even on Shabbos. Omar Abaya. Abaya is now going to voice reservation against Ullah's explanation of Beis Hillel, that the reason you can relinquish your rights on Shabbos is just because you're agreeing that you would have been prepared to relinquish your rights from before Shabbos. But now Abaya is going to mention a case we've mentioned a number of times already, Meis Nochri B'Shabbos. What about the case of Meis Nochri B'Shabbos? We discussed earlier, on the Ayin Amud Beis, if you had a chotzer with two Yisraelim and a goy living in it. The goy did not want to be maskir, did not want to lease his property to the Yisraelim, and therefore they couldn't make an eruv because there's a goy living there without schirus. In the middle of Shabbos, the goy dies, and now you're left with two Yisraelim without an eruv. They say, okay, fine, the goy is dead. He's not a problem anymore. We will relinquish our rights, one of us to the other one. At least that other one will be able to carry. And according to the opinion that actually works, that Meis Nochri B'Shabbos, that we were discussing allowing these Yisraelim to relinquish their rights. My klach etzel yofis ikka. It's talking about that he died, the goy died in the middle of Shabbos. They want to relinquish their rights in the middle of Shabbos. According to Bishamai, there's no such thing. According to Bishilil, he says you can relinquish their rights on Shabbos. But Ullah explains the only reason is because it's an agreement that we would have been happy to relinquish our rights from before Shabbos. Well, in this case, had you relinquished your rights before Shabbos, it wouldn't have helped you anything. Because when Shabbos came in, the goy was still alive, and relinquishing your rights would not have permitted you to carry in the chotzer. So that cannot be the explanation of Beis Hillel. Elo Hocheb Maya. Skinon Abaye has another explanation. Hocheb Maya Komifligi. Abaye has got another explanation in the argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Beis Shammai Savri Bittel Rashus Mikna Rashusahu. Beis Shammai say that relinquishing one's rights is similar to and compared to a sale, as a transfer of ownership, and that is a kinyan of Rashus, is also to do on Shabbos under most circumstances. Umikna Rashusa, but Shabbos also, one is not allowed to transfer rights of property on Shabbos. However, Besilil Savra, Besilil say no, Besilil say that he's not transferring rights, he's just relinquishing his own rights to them. Istaluke Rashusa Baalmahu. Besilil say it's just a relinquishment of one's rights, not a transfer of the rights. Vistaluke Rashusa Beshabbos, Shapir Domi. And there's no issue with relinquishing one's rights on Shabbos, and therefore, even on Shabbos, one can do it. And that's a different explanation, not like Ula. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next shiur, we're going to continue from here.